We'll turn in the scriptures to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered into the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. I've got one purpose this evening. One purpose. And it is this: to remind you that the Lord is coming back. And to warn you to be ready. Of course, that message is contrary to everything the world tells us, the received opinion of the high and mighty. And many people, we call them materialists. They say that this is all there is, this world, the physical existence. Enjoy it while you can. There's nothing beyond. There's no eternity. There's nothing to worry about. Others we might call evolutionists. They say that everything happens the way it always has done. The sediment is laid down at the same speed and it will carry on being laid down and making new rocks. And there's no supernatural power which has ever intervened in this world. And there's no supernatural power that ever will change the course of nature. Other people in the world believe in reincarnation. An endless cycle of birth, life, death, rebirth. Or perhaps annihilation. You die and that's it, you're gone. You cease to exist. No need to worry about God even if he is there. And the Christian worldview, the biblical worldview, stands against all these traditions. The Bible tells us that time is linear. It goes in a straight line. It has a beginning and it has an end. There is a God who created all things, who sustains the universe, and he has intervened in the world dramatically, cataclysmically at times in the past. He's going to intervene again in his own time, in his own way, and it will bring the universe to an end. The world is not going to end. Because North Korea is setting off missiles. The world is not going to end because of an atomic war, a World War III. The world is not going to end because of global warming, alien invasions, asteroid collisions, or any other theory you would like to throw out there. The world will end when Jesus Christ returns. We read from 1 Thessalonians 4. We heard how one day the Lord will descend from heaven in the clouds. There'll be this enormous voice, a command that time is to cease. The archangels will go out announcing that Christ has come. A divine trumpet will sound that every human being will hear. It will raise the dead. Everyone who's truly believed in Christ will be raised and elevated to be with him in the clouds to share a taste of his glory and live in his presence for eternity. But there's no turning back time. There's no second chances. There's no further opportunity. Those who've never repented will find that the day of salvation has passed. There's no more opportunity. It's gone. There's no more hope. Matthew 24, verses 36 to 39, tell us three things about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing is this: it will be sudden and unexpected. You see, only God knows when it will happen. Various cults and fringe Christian movements have tried to predict it, despite the Lord's explicit statement here that only the Father knows the dates. Jehovah's Witnesses predicted that Christ would return in 1914 and have corrected that several times, always failing in their predictions. You see, omnipotent God has chosen not to reveal that fact. And there's nothing a human power, there's no human power that can uncover it. It's secrets. The Lord has kept it secret. Jesus compares it to Noah's flood. See, Noah had 100 years building the ark. He was warning people all the time. Why do you build the ark, Noah? There's no water here. But the day of judgment is coming, he would say. And the people would laugh at him. Noah, go on, give us a break. No one listened. No one heeded the warning. But you see, unbelief doesn't change the course of God's plan. The fact that you don't believe doesn't make any difference to God. He'll still do it. You say God's not coming back. God says he is. You see, then the rain started. And there was no longer any way of escape. God had shut the door. And even had Noah wished to open it, there was nothing he could do. You see, Christ's return will catch people by surprise in the same way. Not because they haven't been warned, but because they don't believe. They don't respond to the warnings. The Bible tells us that every one of us has eternity written in our hearts. There's a knowledge of God in our consciences. We know he's there. We know there's a right and wrong. We know that we're sinners. We know that we need to appease the wrath of God against our sin. And yet many people choose to suppress that knowledge, to carry on as though everything is okay. They're fine. They'll do okay. One day they'll find that the door of salvation is no longer open. Their eternal destiny is sealed. And I'm warning you now. I'm warning each person here. Christ is coming back. He will come. It may seem at the moment as though the world carries on. You might not believe me. You might not think that this is a serious claim. But the scripture tells us, and then the scripture comes with all the authority of the spoken word of God. God has spoken. Christ will return. You might not believe it, but God's word is sure. It's going to be sudden. It's going to be unexpected. Second thing this few verses tell us about the second coming is that it's going to catch many people unprepared. You see, back in Noah's day, people heard the warning and they ignored it. They gave themselves to the things of this world. They had no concern for God. They had no concern for the things of eternity. They take the legitimate things, eating and drinking and getting married and relationships, and they lived as though that was the only thing to live for. The only purpose of their life was food or alcohol or sex. They assumed perhaps that they could repent in their own good time. Noah's been building that ark for some years now. I'll jump on at the end. They thought that Noah's warning was a joke, perhaps. Come on, Noah, give over. You know, when Christ comes again, scripture tells us it will be the same. There'll be people living for their bodies alone, for the lusts of the flesh, sinning without a care in the world, no thought of God. That's what these verses tell us. It'll be just like Noah's day, eating and drinking and relationships and just living life to enjoy it and to enjoy myself. When Christ comes back, it'll be just like that. It sounds a lot like our generation. People who don't want to come to church. They don't want to hear the word of God because they'd rather hear the voice of TV pundits talking about sports games and fashion and who knows what else, trivial things. They don't want to hear the word of God because they're in the supermarkets filling up their cupboards with things that will go out of date before they eat them. Don't be deceived by the delay. The Lord is waiting. He's patient. He's given you time to repent. He's given you time to hear the gospel and to turn to Christ. But don't be deceived. He is coming back. He will come suddenly, and many will be caught unprepared. The third thing these verses tell us is that when Christ returns, it will sweep the unprepared away like a flood. We've all seen the images of local floods, of rivers that have burst their banks because of the heavy rain, and they're moving trees and cars, even buildings being washed away. We hear tragic stories of people losing their lives in such floods. It came so quickly, there was no time to react. Taken by surprise. And they thought they were safe. And the flood came with such power and such speed that they were washed away. The end of the world will come like a flood. It will wash myriads of souls away into eternity with a sudden and an irresistible power and force. Countless people who think they're safe and secure, enjoying the things of this world, and they'll be ushered instantly into the immediate presence of a holy God who cannot look upon sin. They're unprepared. Here are the sinful people. They've never heard the gospel, or they've never believed the gospel. They've rejected it, and they're swept instantly into an everlasting damnation. I wonder if we could imagine a conversation in hell. Can we imagine some people in hell saying, well, how did you get here? And there's the hardened sinner. And he said, well, I heard the gospel being preached on the street corner, but I hated it, and I loved my sin, and so I resisted it. I deliberately rejected God. I refused his warnings. I thought I'd be okay. I'd show God a thing or two, and I was wrong, and I ended up here, and I'm tormented, and there's no way out. Well, how about you? He turns to a religious person. Oh, the religious person said, I heard the warning every week. There was a preacher in the church. He told me every week, flee from the wrath to come. I thought he was talking to the person sitting next to me. Oh, there was someone else in the other pew. And they just looked like a dirty, run-down kind of guy. I thought he was talking to him. I thought I was okay. I was wrong. I should have listened. I'm tormented. There's no way out. Turns to a drunk. How did you get here? Oh, I should have been in church. Do you know Jesus Christ came back when the members of my church were all meeting and worshipping him. And he came back and they were all ready. But I was so drunk the night before. I couldn't wake up from my stupor. And I wasn't prepared and they left without me. And here I am, and I'm tormented, and there's no way out. What about you? Turns to a man in the corner. He said, I was an adulterer. I should have been in the prayer meeting, and I was in bed with another man's wife, and Jesus came back, and I wasn't ready, and he left without me, and now I'm here in this place of torment, and there's no way out. This is the problem with the church today. We talk so much, don't we? How do we solve the problem of the church? We got all kinds of theories. Should we provide more religious entertainment? Better programs for people to follow? Can we be more compassionate? All these different ideas. But we've forgotten that the world is passing away. We live as though this is all there is. As though this is life and there's no heaven and no hell. There's no people with eternal souls waiting to go to heaven forever or to hell forever. We've forgotten the fact. Oh, we live as though life is not important, as though we don't have souls hanging over the abyss of eternity. We don't act as though Christ is the only Saviour. We don't tell people that Christ is the only Saviour. I'm warning you tonight that Christ is coming back and that you need to be ready. Don't be lulled into a false security by the world. The world that tells you it'll all be okay. Enjoy it while you can. He is coming and you need to be prepared. And I want to tell you two ways that you can be prepared. First thing you have to do is you have to repent. You have to recognize there's sin in your life. There's things that God doesn't want you to do, that God rightfully is going to judge. Things that are an offense to the holiness of God, to the righteousness of God. You've broken his law. I've broken his law. We've all broken God's law. And repentance says, I'm going to make a determined effort to break off from sin, to turn away from all that is unrighteous and impure and unholy. I'm going to stop treating sin like a joke, as though God says, oh, it'll be okay, we'll cover that up, we'll brush it under the carpet. Sin is not a joke. It's not a light thing. You've got every reason to hate the sins you love, the things you enjoy doing that lay upon your conscience. You should hate them when you love them, because it's those sins that will rob you of eternal life, that will plunge you into the floods of eternal judgments. You need to repent. You need to turn from those sins. And you need to live as though every moment is your last. Because Christ might return tonight. Or he may come and take you home as an individual. There was that man, that foolish man, in the story that the Lord told. He was a successful farmer and he had so much crops that he thought, what shall I do with them all? I know, I'll build another barn and I'll live life and I'll sit back and relax and I'll be happy. And then God comes to him and says, you fool, tonight your life will be required of you. Our life is in God's hands. Our souls hang over eternity. We need to repent. We need to turn away from sin. We need to cry out to God for salvation. That's the other thing we need to do to be prepared. God told Noah to build a boat so that he would be saved from the flood, which was going to destroy everyone else. Noah had a way out provided by God. You know, Noah's boat got him through that flood. But only Christ can save us from the eternal judgment which is coming. You know, the Son of God, the second person of the eternal Trinity, took human flesh and blood like yours and mine. And he lived a sinless life. And he went to a cross, to a Roman crucifixion. And his body and his blood was given as a sacrifice, as he hung there. The flood of God's judgment was poured out upon this sinless Saviour as he hung there. And why did he do it? So that the flood of God's love and mercy might be poured out upon all who will trust in him, all who turn to Christ in faith and repentance. You see, the cross is a place of mercy for all who will receive it, for all who will turn to Christ and say, Lord, save me. The punishment has been taken. He's our ark. He'll carry us through the flood of judgment that is to come. You see, if you go to the cross and you see that Saviour hanging there, you can also see what God thinks of sin. To see the agony of the Saviour as he experienced God-forsakenness. That God the Father would turn his face away from the Son. The agony of Jesus as he hung there, not just physical agony, but bearing every sin that his people had committed. Experiencing their punishment, the punishment of hell for countless people, concentrated into a few hours of created time upon the flesh and blood body of the Son of God. See, if you want to see how serious God takes it, look at the cross. Oh, but you see, if you turn to Christ, then you find your sins have been judged already. They're put to Christ's account. The wrath, the punishment, it is already taken. But if you don't believe, you're condemned already. If you don't believe in the Saviour from sin, if you don't turn to him and turn to seek and follow the living and true God, then the Bible says you're condemned already. First chapter of 1 Thessalonians gives a description of Christian people. It's something we often forget. Oh, but you see, the Christian people were described as this, people who turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Are you waiting for Jesus to come back in order to deliver you from the wrath to come because you've already trusted in him? Are you waiting for him to come back with hope and gladness and expectancy that he'll take me home to heaven? My confidence is in his death, in his cross, in the new life he's given me. Because if you're not waiting for him like that, you're waiting for him to come back and judge you and condemn you for eternity. This is a Christian. People who wait for the return of Christ with hope. You need to flee from the wrath to come. You need to flee from the wrath to come. Stop playing around with sin. Stop treating it as a joke. You need to turn to the Saviour and plead with God to have mercy. You know, if you play with sin, you're playing with your eternal destiny. If you don't take Christ seriously, you're not taking your eternal destiny seriously. You need to flee. You need to flee. You need to put all your energy, every strength that you have, your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, into fleeing from sin, fleeing from the wrath to come. And I'll tell you where to flee. You flee to Jesus. There's nowhere else to go. There's no one else who can save you. Don't flee to Muhammad. He's dead as well. He never came back. He couldn't cope with death. He didn't have the answer. Don't flee to the Buddha. He claimed to have the answer. He couldn't deal with your sin. He couldn't deal with his own sin. He died and he's still dead. Don't turn to these philosophers. The philosophers who tell you God is dead. Well, they're dead now, aren't they? And they didn't have the answer. I'll tell you what, turn to Jesus Christ. Because he died and he said, I got the answer. I can defeat death. And he proved it. He came back from the dead. He rose again to life. He's alive today. He ascended into heaven. And one day he's coming again. Will you turn to Christ tonight? Will you flee from the wrath to come? Let's turn to our final hymn. Hymn number 318.